Yeah, so by the grace of God, we have been looking at the rebuke of Christ to the church and to the churches. And as we say, discipline comes from God with the sole purpose of building us and correcting us and loving us. You know, when God establishes that he loves us, when he establishes that he treats us as legitimate children, if we are truly sons, then we are disciplined. It's just like if you find a child that is not disciplined, then this is a child that is not most likely from that home or is illegitimate. Why? Because no one is bothered with them. If they fall, if they fail, who cares? You see, and that's usually the attitude. But then when a child is from a home, that parent is concerned that this child does well, and it pains the parents if the child is not going well. And you see, this is really how God was looking at the church. And when we start looking at Revelation, we see this is the revelation of John, and he is in the island of Patmos, and the Bible says, in the day of the Lord, when he was in the Spirit, then he was told, come up higher, and he has this vision of Christ. And he sees him with this glowing, you know, white garment with this golden sash. And he sees him in his hand. He holds the seven stars and he holds seven lamps. And we are told this, you know, the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold spirit of God. And we can see, we are told that the lamps are the churches and the stars are the angel of the church. You know, and at times we think of the angel of the church as being also the, you know, that angel, like the supernatural angel. But I personally believe that the angel of the church in this case refers to the leaders of those churches, because he tells them to the angel of the church. So this message is given to the leaders of the churches in those locations, and these are the seven locations that God was giving. And we've already looked at two. We've looked at the church that was dead, that having a reputation of being alive but was dead. And then we've also seen the church that was compromising. And today we want to see this church in Ephesus, which is really the loveless church, the church that has lost its love, has forsaken its first love. And we'll get to understand that God is in the place where he also wants to be felt, where it is a love relationship with him, where there is intimacy with him. You know, it is so close that God refers to it as, you know, he has shown the union of the church with Christ as one of a husband with his bride. You know, he's coming to take his wife home. And you see, the Bible says he washes her with the word. He presents her to himself as a radiant bride without fault, you know, without spot. And this is really the relationship that God brings us, that when we come to him, we are espoused, in that like we are betrothed, we are sold away. You know, we are married to another. We are married to him. And like yesterday, when we were looking at the Bible study, we were seeing the aspect of vows. And one of the vows that we saw is the marriage covenant. And beyond just the earthly marriage covenant is this other new covenant that God has given us in his love, where he shed his own life for us. The Bible says that he laid down his life. No greater love has this than one that will lay down his life for his friend. And Christ showed us the greatest love by laying down his own life for his church. And likewise, we are told to do the same. And so we see this call, this desire, this hunger, this intimacy that you want to spend time with your lover. You know, it's just like you're thinking that when you are courting, and not a second could pass without you thinking, or without you sending a message, or without you spending time. You can talk on phone and you can find that time has gone like 30 minutes seemed just went in like a minute, or like 5 hours was nothing. Why? Because there was intimacy, there was a desire, there was a feeling, there was a godly feeling that God gives and can give anyone that desires, that longs after him, that desires to know him. There is a feeling that God can give you. He says in him, you know, from one man he made all men that they should inhabit the earth and that they should seek him and happily feel after him and find him, you know. So there is a place for seeking and there's a place for finding, but in between there is the feeling after that. If haply, if they might feel after him, then they might find him. And really, this is a desire that works both ways. When we desire God, as we draw ourselves to him, we also find that he is also seeking us. He is also drawing himself to us. And the Bible says that God demonstrates his love for us in this way, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He sent his son to die for us. So God is actually the first demonstrator of love. And when we come into that fullness where we are washed away of our sins, we are accepted into the beloved, then that journey begins. But you see, it is possible along the way for other things to take away the pleasure of our souls. You see, love sits in the seat of the soul. Why? Because the seat of the soul is the seat of your will, is the seat of your mind, is the seat of your intellect, is the seat of your emotions. Now, what happens when someone has lost their first love is not that the love of God is no longer there, but you see, that love, that pleasure of the soul, that thing that gives you the greatest joy is taken away by something else. And that's why, you know, when God says, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? That means that our souls are in the marketplace, you know, where they can be traded. And by, the thing that we allow to take our minds, the thing that we allow to take our will, the thing that we allow to take our intellect, the thing that we allow to take our emotions, the seat of our emotions, which all of this encompass our souls. Now, the thing that takes away our souls and takes away the desires, our thought process, our time process, you know, how we spend our time. What is it that we are running to do? What is it that we are thinking to do? Like when you're leaving work, what is that thing that you're running to do? That is something that has captured your soul. Maybe it is running to watch, you know, a program. That thing has captured your soul. But if God starts to draw you where you are running to spend time with him, you're running to take time, a time of being in his presence, then this is the place where our love is activated, our love with him is activated. And you see, even like when, you know, when he seals our heart with his love, you can think of songs where the lady starts to look for my beloved, and she's like, where's my beloved? Have you found him? Have you seen him? I long to see him. You know, I asked the watchman, have you seen him? Have you seen my beloved? That desire. And then the beloved says, yes, I found you. You're fairer than the virgins. You know, you're fairer than the gazelles and the doves, than everything. So it shows that not only do we seek after God in our feeling, but he is also eagerly seeking for us. And this really is portrayed in even how the rebuke is done, even how God desires. And if we remember when we gave our lives to Jesus, or when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, that love was there, that intimacy was there, that joy, that peace, that desire to be in the presence of God, God gives us. And when we lose it, what we need to do is to ask God to restore that joy of fellowship. And God is always willing and available to do it. So Revelation chapter 2, and it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? And as I've said, this is to the pastor or to the leader or to the shepherd of the church in Ephesus, right? These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, he says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you have tested those who have said that they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, or from the height from which you have fallen, repent and do the first works, the things you did at first, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But you have this, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, God already starts with this commendation, and you can see he tells him, I know your works, I know your labor. You can imagine it's not just works, it is also a labor, because there are things that we do for the gospel that go beyond just working. It becomes even heavy. Why? Because it becomes a labor of love, in that there are things that inviting someone, you think everyone just does it. No. It is a labor of love that God places in your heart that you know what, I need to do this. This person needs to come to the gospel. And it can even be meaning you're calling someone, you're reminding someone, you're like, I'm even coming to your place to pick you. Now, that is not something that you would even be asked to do. But you see, that is going the extra mile, that now goes beyond just works to being labor of love. And God is like, I know your works. So works are important to God. They don't make us saved, no, but the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith, you know, which is a gift of God, so that no one will boast. And it says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So the works are what God has prepared for us to do. So each and every one of us in the faith must do the works that which God called us to do, and not only move from works, go into the labor. And God says, I know that. And he says, and even as you labored, you are patient, and beyond that, you are not even weary. You don't grow tired. Why? Because God enables us. And he says that, I know that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have also tested those who claim to be apostles, and you have found that they are false. You see, as we walk with the Lord, there are people who will come. Yes, they have the language. Yes, they can give us nice stories of what they have done, of what God has spoken. But you see, there is something that God shows us. There is something that God is able to test the spirits. There is a witness that God tests. And when he does that witness, he can find those who claim to be apostles, yet they are not, and found them to be liars. And he says, my people, yes, you have persevered. I have seen your patience. You have not become weary. You have overcome trials. But you see, my love for you is that I don't want you to just labor, to just be busy in religion, to just be busy in the works. and yet you have lost your love, your first love. You've lost your intimacy, the desire, you know, to be in the presence of God, to wake up, you know, or to just be in intercession. That desire is gone. When that desire is gone, it's like when the hunger in a child is gone. That child can easily die. Why? Because it's the hunger that makes the child to cry, and the mother, even physiologically, tells us the cry of the child releases the hormone that brings the milk. You know, it brings the milk, and the mother is stimulated to look for the child. Now, when that hunger goes, that child will die. Why? Because he's not crying out to the mother. Now, in the same way, when our love for God goes, dies, either being clogged by all the weariness or the activities, then we can easily find ourselves in that place of death. But God is telling us, all I need you to do is remember. Remember your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent. And what is it? How do you go back? Do the things you did at first. Do the things you did at first. There are things that we do that take us to that intimacy. There are things that we do, be it prayer, be it fasting, be it worship, be it study of the word, be it, you know, making your desires and your covenants and your vows with God. These are the things that bring us to that place of intimacy. And he says, do the things you did at first. Because, when you do those things, then you are returned back to that path. And in that path, God was just there waiting for you. Like the way the Bible says, the beloved was just at the door. He was knocking and saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. I'm just at the door. Let us not shut our hearts. Let us not shut our hearts. Let us open our hearts. Let us open our bowels of mercy, of our heart. And the Bible, the warning is there. If we don't do it, he'll come and take away our lampstand. Remember, the lampstand is a church. God will just come and take away his presence from us. And that is not something that we want. But he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him that overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life. Just think of that tree of life. You eat of it, you live forever. The tree of life is Christ himself. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. That means when you partake of the leaves of the tree, you're healed. You give healing to the nations. You heal people. You heal nations. When you partake of the tree of life, of the fruits, you have eternal life and you live forever. You have the life of God. And the Bible says, I will give to it. There's a lot that God wants us to have and to see and experience. I pray that as we continue to hunger and thirst for him, he will restore that love where it is lost. And not only that, intensify that love where it is there, because we are called to deeper and deeper levels of intimacy and love with God. So I'll stop there, my brother. You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Nothing to add for myself. Thanks for the
word. Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We come before your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your rebuke, O God. And I thank you that you are able to give us that feeling. You are able to give us the happy feeling after, the feeling of intimacy, that desire that everyone that has been lost in works, in labors, in trials, but they turn back that they might get that feeling back, that intimacy, restore that love. Oh God, restore us back to the places where we used to do the things we did at first. May we remember our first love. May we not just be lost in activity, but may we be found in intimacy with you, O God. I thank you that you have married us, that you have made a covenant with us in your own blood. that you have united us with you. May your name be praised, be worshipped. We are one body, one body, one body with you, O God. And I thank you for your loving kindness, your favor, your mercy, and your grace. Go ahead of us this day. Grant us victory. May your hand and presence watch over us, surround us, keep us, and strengthen us in everything that we do. May our works and our hands be blessed. We honor you. We adore you. Remember our families, our children. Be with them, O God. No harm comes near them. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and have a blessed, blessed morning. Bye-bye.